A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus departed with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. Hearing all that he was doing, they came to him in great numbers from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, beyond the Jordan, and the region around Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. For he had cured many, so that all who had diseases pressed upon him to touch him. Whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and shouted, "You are the Son of God!" But he sternly ordered them not to make him known. The Gospel of the Lord. Isn't it extraordinary to see how Jesus is represented here? He's mobbed by admirers and by the curious, but above all, by fans almost, in much the same way as nowadays we're accustomed to see happening to maybe singers or actors or football stars. Three times, in just three verses, Mark stresses this. In verse 7, he talks about a great multitude from Galilee. In verse 8, he talks about people coming in great numbers from all over the place. In verse 9, we're told that the boat was made ready because of the crowd so that they wouldn't crush him. So it's not a question of half a dozen hangers-on. If you have to be defended from being crushed, we're talking about hundreds of overexcited people. And incidentally, people who in one way or another are sick, people maybe with infectious illnesses, people who are not in perfect health. And then he's hailed as Son of God, not by these admirers, but by unclean spirits. And that's intriguing. He's never, at least in Mark, he's never called Son of God by the disciples. He's given this title by the Jewish authorities. He's given the title by a Roman soldier. He's several times given the title by unclean spirits. And of course, God, the Father himself, gives him that title at his baptism. But look at what that means. Apart from the voice heard at his baptism, he's publicly recognized by the people who, on the face of it, should be the very last to acknowledge him. It's true that Peter, later on in this Gospel, and in Luke as well, is quoted as calling him the Messiah, but that's in private. And when the unclean spirits use the title Son of God, what's Jesus' reaction? He sternly orders them not to spread the word. He doesn't ask them. He doesn't say, "I'd really appreciate it." He sternly orders them. In chapter 13 of Mark, we read that Jesus warned the disciples against false prophets, saying, "If anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it." The revelation of Jesus' true identity only emerges with the resurrection. And even then, as we all know, some of his disciples had a really hard time believing it. So, I think there's something of a lesson here for all of us. All those people that were following Jesus around, all those people gathering so closely around him that he risked being crushed, all of these wanted something from him. they wanted to be healed, or they wanted a friend or a family member to be healed, whatever, they simply didn't just want to know that he was there. They didn't just want to listen to all he could teach them. They didn't just want to learn and grow through hearing him. They wanted, I don't know if I'm overstating it, but I think you'll understand me if I say they wanted a prize, they wanted a reward, which is not at all the same as wanting to be saved, wanting to be loved, and at the same time being ready to do your bit to collaborate, to respond to all that love by offering your own very small contribution to the healing of the whole of creation. And thinking about this took me back to the prayer that Jesus himself taught the disciples, taught all of us. Because the first part is all about God. First we recognize him, then we accept, at least we say that we accept, we try to accept his will. And it's only then that Jesus says we can ask him for something. And what can we ask him? We can ask for our daily bread and for forgiveness. Not for healing. Not for any special privilege. Because when you come right down to it, that's what the crowds were after. Healing, special privileges. Not what we often want for ourselves, but just the bare essentials. Bread for the body, forgiveness for the soul, and surely that ought to be more than enough.